Welcome to Insight Out, the Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider. And together, we will explore these truths through humor. We hope to have humor with a modicum of silliness, conscious conversation. We hope it'll be conscious. You can help make it conscious. Poetry, music, skits, and your comments.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw. 100% natural, organic, raw food not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and Costco, or just go to their website, Go Raw Product. Thank you, Go Raw, and our dear friend Rob. Okay, so tonight we're picking up on a theme that's called practicing the presence of God, or just practicing the presence. It's actually based upon a collection of letters that were put together that were written by a 17th century monk by the name of Brother Lawrence. He actually was born Herman something or other.
He actually was.
And he was, Rochelle's going, you're making that up, Herman. It wasn't the Herman Goldfarb you're thinking of, but he was Herman, and he was in the army, the French army, and he was wounded. And then he had tried some job, and it didn't work out, and he ended up going to this monastery in France, where he had this enlightenment moment, evidently. And he was the chief bottle washer in the kitchen, but he had this extraordinary sense of being able to discover, to use this language, the presence of God, to wash in pots and pans. And I've read it many, many years ago, and it's always stayed with me, and I could always feel it. So when we came here to Lupin, our clothing optional paradise, we hope you'll come visit us, one of the first things I did was wash dishes and pots and pans in the restaurant, hours of it. And I was so grateful for Brother Lawrence for having prepared the way for me to, in fact, practice the presence while I was doing that very thing.
Wow. I mean, I was thinking about that just a few minutes ago, like, what does it mean to practice the presence? I mean, because it is a practice, you know. It wasn't always that way, because when we were itty-bitty little beings and everything was seen, felt, heard, tasted, and smelt for the first time, we were in the awe of discovery. As we grew distant from our innocence, the past experiences intruded upon the present. And we brought those experiences into our awareness. So now, in order to be present, we have to practice what was once something that was endemic to who we were. I mean, I feel like when I engage with you, you know, my eyes receive you, my ears hear you, my senses are alert to your energy touching
whoa,
you.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down, girl. We're alone. Okay.
We're not. There's a whole bunch of other people that we can't see here.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry, listeners. I didn't want to embarrass any of you.
You wouldn't be embarrassing me. But now I have to start all over again because I just lost my place. Thank
there
you
is that.
Very much.
Hello. But where is your place?
I don't know. Like, I engage with an activity, time disappears, and only the engagement exists. When I write, the engagement with the mystery is replete. I sit in the stillness, my mind the only interruption, as it tries to put forms onto a blank page. Am I substance? Disintegrating substance soon to be beyond form, beyond substantial identity. Yet the who in conversation cannot defy the illusion, except when I look at it from the window of my soul, or maybe through the window of my soul. And there I am, pulsating energy, constantly moving, illuminating the truth, revealing the beauty of creation, and exuding the promise of the mystery. Those words came about as a result of practicing the presence.
Well, what for me, practicing the presence involves is recognizing, number one, that I am constantly present. There is that which is constantly present, and it is me being present that is moving through these time-space experiences. But I'm always present to them. I can forget that I'm here being present and present to them and get caught up in the story and think that that's me out there having all these time-space experiences, or I could practice. The process for me is to practice reminding myself and actually choosing to kind of step back, if you will. It's that witness. We've talked about that so many times. That witness that goes, well, I'm just actually here, and this is all just passing fancy.
Yeah, but isn't it really about the engagement?
Yes.
I mean, when you're fully engaged with something, fully engaged, it doesn't matter what it is, like just drinking some water from a bottle or washing your hands, whatever it is, there's this full engagement that makes the activity joyful. It makes it wonderful. It's a beautiful thing because we're engaged with it. It's when we go away. Like I realized one day I was driving the car and I was thinking about something, and I swear I all of a sudden I was somewhere and I couldn't remember how I got there.
Well, the engagement potential was erstwhile at that moment.
Erstwhile, I like that.
Yeah, erstwhile. It's probably not a good way to use it, but erstwhile came, the original definition is while we erst, because people used to do ersting. It was like a card game in the 1700s.
God, you're terrible.
No, it was like,
you say these things, people, anybody listening has to see his eyes. They do this weird thing when he's jesting. And if you can't see his eyes doing the weird thing, you really think he's serious.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, if nobody knows that, they'll think you're serious, and it's almost like deceiving someone.
See, Rochelle's trying to take care of you. She's trying to take care of the audience, which I think is so funny. Because,
well, you're not an audience. You're listeners, and therefore...
Oh, I beg your pardon. You're not an audience. No, I don't know what came over me.
Yeah, well, you see, what came over you was the fact that you were erstwhile.
Not as erstwhile as we're going to get during this show.
In fact, you were while you were in erst,
yeah.
I was perceiving that you were in erst.
Now, those of you who are listening to this interesting conversation are probably thinking, is this where practicing the presence gets you? I don't think so.
Well, it does, because it's all absurd. So you might as well join with the absurdity of it all and become as absurd as it is.
Exactly. You know, it is so absurd. And you know, one thing about it that makes it really especially absurd is... You know, just the skin and bone that we live in, and what happens to that skin and bone. And, well, yeah, check it out.
We're going to sing about the valley of the dry bones. Ezekiel prophesied the bones would live again. He said that the bones would walk around. Now hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel connected them. Dry bones, Ezekiel connected them. Dry bones, Ezekiel connected them. Dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. The toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the hip bone connected to the backbone, the backbone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the neck bone connected to the head bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Them bones gonna walk around, them bones gonna walk around. Now hear the word of the Lord. Disconnect them bones, Emma. Dry bones, disconnect them bones, Emma. Dry bones, disconnect them bones, Emma. Dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. The head bone connected from the neck bone connected from the shoulder bone connected from the backbone connected from the hip bone connected from the thigh bone connected from the knee bone connected from the leg bone connected from the ankle bone connected from the foot bone connected from the toe bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Them bones gonna live again. Them bones gonna walk around. Them bones gonna praise the Lord. Now hear the word of the Lord. Them bones and dry bones. Bones and dry bones.
All right.
And let me say to you listeners, if you are missing any of those connections that were referred to just then, please call 419-743-9218 and press 2 for information about where your bones are, or 3 if you want to know what they're called.
Terrible. Hear the word of the Lord, I bet that's called.
No, it's actually called Dry Bones.
Dry Bones, huh?
Yes. And that group, I have to find out who that group was, but there were many versions of Dry Bones. I hope you enjoy that out there, listeners, because you're listening to Insight Out.
The Naked Truth.
The Naked Truth. And tonight, we're just working with the idea of practicing the presence. Rochelle just brought up something that I think is so core to the process. I just wish I could remember it. It was just
about
fabulous.
engagement.
There you have it.
That's it. He wasn't engaged enough with what I was saying, was he?
Well, let's talk about the engagement. What actually happens in the engagement, and what makes something an engagement versus a non-engagement? Like, remember when we engaged? Did we ever get engaged? I know we got married, but did we ever get engaged? I really don't remember.
I don't think we got engaged in the way that a formal engagement. You know, like where you turn around to my parents and say, I would like to marry your daughter, and or you get down on one knee and you say, will you marry me? And you hand me a ring like our son did. Oh, it's so beautiful.
I remember when we got engaged, when I first met you. And then I met you at the bar and I picked you up.
You did not meet me at a bar and pick me up. There you go again. You see, you can't do that. You cannot do that. You can't say things that are fallacious.
Okay. All right.
No, our son did it just according to the movies. He got down on his knees. He kept looking for a great space to propose.
We're talking about did it as in got engaged.
Yeah. Proposed to his fiancée, who became his fiancée after the proposal. Before, she was just his girlfriend.
Fortunately, was accepted, yes.
Yes, and he took her to this beautiful park, Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, and he kept looking for the perfect place, and it was a cold day, and she was getting colder and colder and colder, and finally she says, let's go. And he said, no. And he found this place. He'd get down on his knees. He said, what are you doing? And he said, will you marry me? And then she started to cry, and she felt so silly because she was wanting to leave, and her nose was running because she was freezing cold.
And then he
pulled out this beautiful, beautiful diamond ring. And by then it didn't matter how cold it was because she was totally engaged to him. On every level.
And referring to that beautiful diamond ring, it wasn't like those ugly engagement diamond rings that you see a lot of. No, this was the beautiful diamond ring. You got to watch out. If your guy presents you an ugly diamond ring.
Yeah, there are times like that. I remember there was a TV show where the leading character gave the girl a diamond ring, which she didn't like. And he had to take it back and get her another one.
Sounds like something on Friends.
No, it wasn't Friends. It was that program with the Jessica, whatever.
Oh, Sex in the City?
Sex in the City.
Yeah, sounds like that kind of writing.
Right.
Speaking of Sex in the City, sex is one thing that really, supports and the engagement. When you have, I think that's why we like it. If you think about sex, because we are having sex, we can go, I'm engaged. Anybody watching? And you're kind of waving with one hand that's free.
It's not an engagement when you do that, that's for sure.
Okay, so it's back to that. What is the engagement? To me, the engagement is totally being in reciprocity with that which you're engaged with, that there's a continual give and receive, give and receive, that there's a that's the engagement. It's like I'm totally, I won't say fixated because it's a dialogue, but I am very focused on whatever I'm engaged with. For example, I'm looking outside the window here, and there's a little redwood, and there's a painted gate.
But you're talking, so what are you engaged with?
You know, that's a good question. Listeners, if you'll call up at 888-627-6008, I'd love to hear from you, and you could tell me what I am engaged or not engaged with. And what engages you? Again, 888-627-6008.
And these numbers are true. He didn't make these up.
You know, and if you can't get, you'll be caller number 14. We'll take your call. Back to engagement.
Okay. To me, engagement is like being right where you are. No place else. There's nothing else to do or see or hear other than that which you are with. And if you're with a rock, you're engaged with the rock. The reciprocity of you with the rock is the fact that you're giving energy to this rock and receiving the rock at the same time. But I don't know that the rock is conscious of giving you anything. It's all you. It's you that's doing it. You know, I mean, because you don't even need to have another person engage with you to be present.
To have practicing. Babies, you do.
Well, yes. But that's different. What I'm talking about.
Well, that's the marriage.
Practicing the present has to do with the fact that we are totally engaged with that which we are with. It doesn't need to give us back anything. We create the reciprocity in the engagement. That's what the engagement does. And if you're engaged with something that is also a conscious being and it can be reciprocal with you, then you have two people being present with each other. But I don't think you need anything from that which you are engaged with in order to do that.
Well, what do you think, listeners? Do you think you need to, anyone else has to be there? Anything has to be there? You know what it does remind me of? And that is this poem that I wrote called The Sound of Me, which I'd like to share. But while we're waiting for the poem, I think it's important to remember that we don't have all the answers, but we do live in a universe that is, well, laughing.
October throws herself before my feet, and the sky turns pale blue, holding her breath for me. Never thought myself a city shoe, but it's made of gold today, and it breaks my heart in two. There's one to hold on to it, but there's nothing to hold, and the universe is laughing, and all the boy can really do is watch a boy. I was listening to that city hall.
your touch. Is it everything we love? I can't explain. But if the world should disappear,
I love the lyric in that song that that comes at the end of each chorus where he says, "Cause all a boy can really do is watch a boy unfold."
Mm.
And to me, that is so central to practicing the presence, because as we evolve, the word evolve or evolution comes from a Latin word meaning to unfold. So my image is, here we have this dense thing that's our self. We were talking the other day with all this infinity going on out there, and yet we are this self, we live in this little bubble of this self-awareness. And I really believe that it's as potentially as big as the rest of the universe. And we're given this sense of I am, and that this strong sense that I am and I'm not that, whatever. And as we reach in and let that I am out, as it interfaces with other, it starts to open it up and begin to peel it up on its journey toward ultimate forever expansion, but always within this container that is my self-awareness, now presently called Errol Strider.
I'm not sure I follow that 100% in the sense that...
Me neither, kid.
Because this awareness that I have is so immature. It takes up the tiniest little microbe of the universe. You know, it's such a as an evolving awareness, it is so primitive, it seems to me. And the fact that the possibility exists that it can mature and take in more. And in that sense, there's that enfoldment. But at the point that we're in right now, it just seems like we're so childlike.
But we are unfolding. It's like a rose or a flower. We have these flowers that haven't quite unfolded yet.
Right.
And so they're very contained, but it is in process. So yes, at any given point you could say, well, this is immature, and it'll probably be immature forever compared to the potential that it's going to reap. And yes, and that allows you to accept it and tolerate and forgive it for exactly where it is, the way you would a little baby who's trying to crawl, and you want him to go out and make a living.
No, I don't. In fact,
support,
if anything, I want him to be a baby as long as possible because he's so adorable.
Get out there and support the family, kid. You know, we got bills, you know. We don't just diaper your ass for just a short period of time and expect you not to have some reciprocation. Something like that. It was like, you know, when they change our diapers at some point. Hopefully that won't happen.
Well,
but I'd like... You know, I like to come at it from another angle. We have this piece that we've done for many years called Who Are You? And it was inspired by Abbott and Costello, who did a piece called Who's On First, which if you haven't heard it, get on YouTube and go put in Who's On First. There just has to be a version of it, especially after you hear our version. And you can see why it's hats off to Abbott and Costello. But nevertheless, the other side of it is I tried to make a theological statement or a statement about fundamental identity in the midst of this little you know, I wouldn't say nonsensical. It is sensical script, but it's just a little playful little banter in the style of, what do we call them? Abbott and Costello. Little introduction, please, Maestro. Who are you?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Me.
I know you're me, but...
That's right.
What? What's right?
I am you.
Me?
Yeah, you.
How can you be me? That's ridiculous. You're not me. I'm me, and you're you, but... Well, I'd like to know who you are.
I'm me.
But who is me?
You.
No. What I mean is, who are you when you're just being you?
Me.
Alrighty. Let's try it another way, shall we? Look, you have to have some identity more than just being you. So what is it? Like, what do?
I be me.
But you just can't go around being me all day long. I mean, what do me... Oh, my God. All right. What do me do?
I. It's what do I do?
Okay. What do I do?
I don't know.
You don't know what?
What you do.
No, not me. You. What do you do?
I be.
Be what?
Me.
We've been through me already.
No, we haven't.
We haven't?
No, we've only been through me, not you. What about you?
Me?
Yeah, what do you be?
I don't be anything. I do. And what I do is ask you what you do so that I can find out who you are. Get it?
Yes.
Good. Now then, what do you do?
I be. That's what I do. Me bees.
But be is not do. Do is do.
Then I do be me.
You do.
And you do too.
Do to what?
Be me.
No, not me. You. What is you?
But you, what are you talking about? You do.
I do what?
Be you.
Not me. You. What is you?
Are.
Huh?
What are you?
Who are you?
No, not who I am, who you are.
Oh, not who I am, who you are.
That's what I just said. You. Hoo, hoo, hoo.
Huh? You. You who what?
You who are.
You who are what?
You who are you.
Okay, you want to be that way about it? If you are me, then what am I?
You.
No, what am I when I am you?
You too.
No, how can you be me if I am me and you are you? We aren't me and we aren't you.
Oh, yes, we are.
How can we be are?
You are you, aren't you?
Yes.
And I am me, aren't I?
Huh?
We then are you and I, right?
Huh?
Aren't we we?
We.
That's who I am then.
Who?
We. I be we.
We too?
Yes, you too. So that should answer your question.
What question?
Who I am.
I don't care anymore.
But don't you see, if you and I are we, then we are you, and we are me, and if you know you, then you know me. So you are the answer to your question.
I am?
Sure, you're the answer for me. So who are you?
I'm me.
See? You got it.
I got it.
That music is from that movie Mic Mac, huh?
Micmacs. So were you able to follow along with us in our You and Me piece? Let us know. Call us. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, sponsored by Go Raw, Real Live Food. I've eaten it. I've been to the plant and all the plant can do to keep up with it.
Errol, what was the name of the song that you played before we did the piece, You and Me?
The name of the song
that
I played before we did You and Me. Was it The Universe is Laughing?
Yeah, I guess so.
Something like that. Guggenheim Grotto is the name of the group. I played that at a certain point. You know, one of the things that that gets in the way of us really being authentic and in the moment are, well, the games people play.
What is that?
Talking about you and me and the games people play. And that was the project. I couldn't actually find the artist. I know it's a very famous song, but when I go to find it, it just says the Alan Parsons Project. If you know the singer of that song, let us know. So we're back to live.
Practicing the presence.
Practicing the presence. That means showing up to whatever shows up. One thing it, I think, is practicing the presence. You could argue, of course, that, would that be practicing the presence if you're arguing? If you're fully engaged in the argument, then you're practicing the presence, aren't you?
I don't know, like I think of argument as being out of the presence, because you're trying to, when we argue, we're trying to win a point. We're trying to take somebody away from where they are and bring them to us.
What about when you just get angry at someone and you have an outburst? Do you think that's, someone might say that's being very present, you know, feel how intense the emotions are. I mean, as we go to movies to watch these people have these intense emotions, and that brings us to the present with that movie.
Well, it's debatable in the sense that, like, who are we being present with? I mean, our presence, we're practicing the presence with our own emotions, with our own emotional body. You know, we're allowing our emotions out. But if you're engaged with another human being and you're separating yourself from them because of your anger or your feelings, then it seems like one thing is taking away from another thing. So then it becomes a little more convoluted. But if you're aware of the fact that you're moving away from the person because you're being angry, then maybe that's how you're becoming present. And then you're aware of the fact that you're not present. So then you're present.
That makes me angry. Okay.
No, it can't make you angry.
Did you get that? Well, here's another way of voicing the question, and that is, can you, if you're present, can you be angry? If you're present, if you're really present, can you be angry or upset or irritated or any of those things that would impel you to resist something or someone?
I don't think so. I think when I'm in the state of mind or the state of being, of presence, I experience an enormous joy. So it seems that that would be the opposite of getting angry or something. There's a joy. I mean, why would I get angry at you if I'm totally present to you? When I'm practicing the presence and engaged with you, why would I have any reason to get angry with you if I'm totally engaged with you? It's like if you do things, I'm not borrowing anything from over there and bringing it over here. I'm merely being here with you. So what is there to be angry at? I don't have expectations in the present. I have just you.
So your answer is no.
Let me think about that.
Whenever I confront Rochelle with the opportunity to say no, she tends to react that
You see, he's doing it again. He's making up stories. He just has this puckish face right now. You know, remember Puck from, was it The Tempest?
The Tempest. I'm trying to say Midsummer Night's Dream, but I get them mixed up.
Midsummer's Night's Dream, Puck.
Yeah, I think
Puck was Midsummer's Night's Dream. And that word puckish, I think, comes from that.
Yeah. It's related somebody to pukish, which
no,
is...
No, who's somebody who's always
a fool.
Is a fool.
Drunk fool is a puke. You're
a fool. I think part of practicing the present is to be congruent. But being congruent in relationship is very different than just being congruent with yourself.
Let's talk about the advantages. Folks, there's a lot of advantages out there to practicing the presence. And then let's talk about what is the practice of it. But the advantage of it is that when you're everything is in the present, believe it or not. It may seem like it's yet to come or it was once, but it's actually right here. And when you just are here practicing the presence, now, cutting away from the promotional part of the show, he talked about practicing the presence of God. I'd like to really examine that, because first of all, some people have a lot of trouble with the word God. It's been used to represent all kinds of
things. Gods,
many gods. But they were all the one true God, by the way, no matter
right.
how different they were from each other or same. But he had this experience of the I like to call it the Gestalt God. Yes, I never thought of that till just now. This folks, came out of the present. I'm not sure how accurate it is, but it's the God that's like, you know, completely embraces all of it. That so you're practicing
the God of gods.
The God of gods, no less. That God.
See, I think one experiences that experience of what I call divinity or the mystery that the sense of moreness, the sense of allness, when you are engaged, it just fills up every corner of the page, so to speak, and then goes beyond the page. And as if you put all colors down onto a page and spread it out, it's so replete. It's not something that you long for because you have it. You have it. There's no longing in there. And when you have it, that to me is what infinity is. You have it. It's there. It can't get less. It can't get more.
It's
it
all
is
over
complete.
The place. Yes. They can't even clean it up.
No. There's no need to clean
it up. It's all over the place and all over the time.
So I think that what happens to me when I engage with anything, even as I am right now engaged with you over there, Errol Strider,
ooh,
across the table from me wearing your earphones and your microphone. When I engage with you completely and I have, there's no place else to go. There's nothing to do, and it's so full.
It is full, and that brings me back to Gestalt, and it's a form of therapy. It's called an existential experiential form of psychotherapy that, here, emphasizes personal responsibility and that focuses upon the individual's experience in the present moment.
Experience in the present moment.
This week I'm going to call my God the Gestalt God.
Okay.
And then next week we can have a different name. But it's for me, it's simultaneously recognizing that whatever God is this presence that everything in the universe apparently is sharing right in this instant, though we may be moving in all kinds of different directions.
Therefore, practicing the presence is a quote-unquote godly experience.
It is a godly experience. And it's because, we all got to be going somewhere. And this, to me, is part of the journey of where we're going.
Bars at last call, looking for love and looking for when the final letter for me will be sent. 'Cause we've all got to be going somewhere, and we've all got to be going somewhere. Some to the ground and some to thin air, but we've all
got to be going somewhere. And that was Jay Malinowski. Fine lyricist. I don't know if you caught some of those lyrics. Some to the ground, some to thin air, but we've all got to be growing somewhere. I like this other thing. He says, I've got my freedom. I've got my friends. I've got stories and dusty bookends. Stories that go past cigarette ends. I love that line. It's a great image. Some lives are born and some remain dead. Did you catch that? Stories that go past cigarette ends. Some lives are born and some remain dead. Wow. And there you have what I would think is a life of lack of presence if they kind of remain dead, if you're on hold. I think it's paying close attention to what's ever before you, at the very least.
Well, I think the interesting thing...
Yes?
It's very hot and very dry right now where we are, so I'm... having need to cough. But what came up for me when that song was playing, that practicing the presence is not dependent on anything or anyone, situation or place. It's a choice we make. It's a choice to stop, look, listen, anytime, anywhere, with anyone, you can practice the presence. It's not dependent on anything. It's just a choice to do it. And to me, that's very freeing. You know, because you think of things, many things, well, I want to do this, but I can't do this unless I can do that. You know, or I have to have this in order to do that. But practicing the presence is so free because it's just a choice. You just make a choice to be present, to be right there, to engage fully with wherever you are, with whatever, with whomever you're with and whatever thing that's in front of you. And it happens.
So
it's like
that-
you don't have to rev it up. What you're practicing is the choice.
Yes. Practicing is a choice. And the choice that I'm making is my mind is off running around doing a zillion things. It's going all over the place. It's got all these things that it's just pop, 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 pop. And, for example, I can be taking a walk in the woods, and I have to kind of pinch myself and say, hey, you're walking in the woods. These are beautiful woods. Check it out, the air, the sky, the thing. Now, am I any less present? I'm not present to the woods when my mind, I'm present to all these thoughts that are running in my head, aren't I? Not?
Right. So in many ways, your body, you're not congruent because your body is one place and your head is another place.
That's right.
So the congruence that becomes part of being present is important to the process, to the practice, to practice being, to having your body and your mind being the same place at the same time.
It maximizes the quality of your experience with that which is happening.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so joyful.
If you shut down some of your access points to what's happening, then you're just kind of missing out. It's not like you're judged or there's anything really wrong. It's just you just, you know, could have had that experience added to it. And we don't charge any more for any more experiences you can have in the now. You can have as many now experiences as you want without any extra charge.
Right, and I was, when I started the evening with you and thinking about what it was like as a child when it something about having it happen for the first time. It's like, you know, I remember when I went to Europe for the first time and I was in a strange place when hearing strange languages. I was so attentive to everything because I had nothing from the past to bring to that moment. It was just, I was there and there was nothing that prepared me for it in a sense. I had to be totally present to it. And I think that the newness allows us to be present. But like an actor, we are actors, you and I. We have been professional actors. And we know that when you come on stage, even if you've done a part hundreds of times before, you're nowhere else but there in that moment, as if you've never done it before, never said these lines before. And to me, that is, and it's always totally exciting and wonderful. We always come off the stage feeling, even if you play a very unpleasant or uncomfortable part, there's a part of you that resonates with the engagement that gives you more energy. You're energized. Don't you? You've experienced that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
That's why people in the theater go and eat, and we get fat.
We do not. Yeah. We eat because we can't eat before the show, so we eat afterwards. We're starving.
That's right. That's right. Because otherwise, I couldn't fit in my outfit.
You know. And that's the other thing too. Like, how many of us practice the presence with food? You know, the unconsciousness of eating, that we're unconscious, that we're eating to fill a space in us that is not filled. If you engage fully with what you're eating, you really tend not to eat that much of it, even though it's so delicious, you want more. But when you engage fully with it, you're so satisfied with just a little bit.
But see, that brings up another issue that might keep us from being totally present, and that is, it's scary to be in the present. In the past, the present, for some of us, through abuse, neglect, abandonment, betrayal, was a scary place to be. So we shut ourselves away from the present because the present did and would contain some painful stuff. And I think that then becomes a legacy that we carry with us that keeps us from being totally present, to the degree that when we were present in the past, we found it distasteful, if not downright harmful. But that's why it's a practice, because we all have some degree of that, something that needs to be released, forgiven, so that we can be, you know, fully present and really know who we are. And we're kind of back to that issue again. And sometimes it's tough to know who you are.
My reflection in the mirror. Why am I doing this to myself? Losing my mind on a tiny error. I nearly left the real me on the shelf. What to do to fit the mold, yeah. The more I try, the less it's working.
just be true to who you are. That's just... So this is May 13th, 2012, and we are Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And what we explored tonight was practicing the presence, and we hope that we've helped you become a little more present.
I realize that you can be present to anything, anywhere. And if you're walking in the woods and you're being present to your thoughts, then that's what you're being present to, fully be present to your thoughts, even if you do walk off a cliff.
Right. There you have it. So join us next Tuesday night. We'll be exploring another issue that we believe dramatically and often humorously affects our lives. Our sponsor is Go Raw and real live food. When you eat that kind of food, you are present to that. Anything else, Rochelle? Well, we just ask you to do this. Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.